They have lost their minds. This woman is psychologically impugned. It's something wrong with her. And you got a room of 2,000 people in a church. Don't nobody see anything wrong here? What is wrong with everybody? They go down to this mega fest mess down here in Dallas teaching yoga classes. I mean, you don't know that yoga comes from Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, and it's designed to call the Kundalini force up from the base of your back up your spine, opening up chakras along your spine until you get to the center of your forehead and your third eye opens and you become yoked to the demons because your third eye opened. And you're sitting down at the mega fest in yoga classes talking about we're yoking you to Jesus. Yeah, you're yoking them to another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. Because you can't take Eastern mysticism and sanctify it and start talking about Jesus. You're a damnable liar. Come from hell to bind these people. See, here we are sitting in the midst of this mess, and nobody wants to say a thing about it, and everybody afraid. I ain't afraid of them. See, I remember a guy named Derek Livingston growing up. Derek Livingston used to beat me up every day until I went off on him and tried to kill him one day when I was about 13. I tried to beat him to death with a tree branch. From that point on, Derek Livingston was my friend. Because you know what he thought? That joker crazy. That joker crazy. I said, I was beating him, pushing him, picking on him every day. That joker went off. I think he snapped. Look how his eyes look. I was walking around looking like this. My eyes all bugged out. I see Derek Livingston looking. I kill you as soon as I look at you. I kill you, man. Every time I see you, I want to kill you, man. I think about killing you every time I see you, man. That's how I be with the devil. Devil is thinking you. That's the devil. Devil, I kill you. I kill you, man. That's how you want to be around him. You got to make the devil think. Don't say nothing to him because, you know, hey, look, don't say that to him. You'll be at work, and if you really set the goal at all times with the word of God, they'll mention something. So don't bring it up around. Don't even start them. Somebody in the back saying, no. They ask you the question, well, what do you think about homosexuality? No, don't ask. Don't ask them. Doggone. That's how you want the devil around. You let the devil know, I'm not the one. Because notice how people take the floor and take the mic and they dictate to you thinking nobody's going to say anything. And they'll pick out the one that speaks up. You could be in a room, a conference room of 800 people and some boob up front trying to teach you some Tony Robbins success seminar stuff, which is nothing but higher thought from the Far East. That's all it is. It's just how to win friends and influence people. All that's nothing but mysticism. You stand up and say, hey, you know what, Tony Robinson? This ain't nothing but a bunch of junk, man. This is garbage. You ever seen that woman confront Oprah Winfrey on her show about Jesus? Mm-hmm. Oprah liked the one off. She wanted to kill that woman. And then the woman finally said, we supposed to believe this because you say so? Oh, because a witch don't like nobody taking their fame and taking the spotlight. Because what's happening now, the other people are saying somebody's willing to question her. But see, as long as they got the platform and the microphone and they dictating to you, now they're in charge. That's what they hate about Donald Trump. They get on the news and they just put him down all day. He'll come back over Twitter and say all kinds of derogatory stuff. And he said, that's not presidential. That's not, see, he hates women. He's misogynistic. See how what he said about that lady? What did the lady say about him? Don't get in the ring unless you're able to take a punch, man. Because a real fighter going to counter punch. The joke ain't going to draw up and be a little girl to you. You going to step in the ring. You got something to say. I got something to say. This ain't all a one-way street. It's all incoming. You got to take the counterpunch now. Manny Pacquiao lost last night. I think they might have robbed him, they said, because they boy didn't outpunch him, but hey. But what I'm saying is, in a ring, you ain't the only one throwing punches.
That's right.
I like that Donald Trump. I'm not saying he's saved. I'm not saying he's righteous man. I'm not saying he's holy. But I like the fact that he ain't going to just roll over and play dead and be the gum under the bottom of everybody's shoe and let them just talk about him and don't respond to them. He doesn't use the news media because the news media is against him. Then they say, well, he needs to stop putting out these tweets. Well, you won't cover him fairly, so he's taking another route around you that you don't like. I love that. Yeah, man, keep tweeting. Tweet every day. Tweet like a bird. I'm glad you do it. Because I like to see them folk get irritated and mad because they're weak-kneed wimps. What in the world can Don Lemon or Shepard or Smith or Anderson Cooper say to me? He just got sodomized last night. What moral authority do you have to say about anything, man? You just got out of a bed of sodomy with another guy sodomizing you, drinking semen for water, and you got to tell me something about morality and what Donald Trump is doing wrong? Shut your mouth, man. Shut your mouth. You got no moral authority to tell anybody anything, and that's what makes church people run, what I just said. That's why they don't pack in here, because they're afraid of what I'm saying. Because you ain't got the guts, man, to stand up and be a man. Letting the homosexuals just push you all around. I remember Derrick Livingston. Meaning everybody got some breaking point. Girl used to pick on my wife in college, and my wife beat her down. Same thing with Barbara. They'll come around church and Barbara, she's a nice little old woman, you know. She got a little glasses on. She's cute. My wife used to beat up people. They don't understand, man. The devil makes a bad miscalculation trying to push you around because they'll think, well, yeah, they weak. They're just church folk. Just get on over there. Shut up. I wish you would say something. Shut your mouth. You know how people jump at you. Oh, please don't. You make a bad miscalculation. Because everybody's got a breaking point. You know what God would do? He'll let people push you around. And you just praying, Lord, make them stop. Lord, move them off this job so they'll stop messing with me. Lord. Please, Lord, the suffering, I'm suffering for your sake. Lord, they're just picking on me. The devil just cussing me. The devil just taking my stuff. The devil just robbing me. Lord, don't you hear my humble prayer? Know what they going to tell you? You need to do something about it. I've given you weapons of warfare. Use them. You got a sword, but you got it sheathed. Draw it. God ain't going to fight for you. He's going to fight through you as you stand up. If you never make a stand, God will never stand up. Somebody got to stop this madness and say, look, enough is enough. Jakes, Dollar, Copeland, Bynum, Osteen. These are weirdos and kooks trying to peddle a bunch of junk to people that's not even valid. And everybody just backing up talking about, well, pray for them. That's your brother in the Lord. No, they're not. It's a lie birthed in hell. They came from hell with a false gospel. Stand up. You know the truth. Stand up and tell it. Amen. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. What is wrong with everybody? You were tenacious and would beat up everybody in the world. And now you come in church, you become docile. Just little pitiful little prissy penny in the corner full of penury, which is nothing but poverty. Looking crazy and pitiful. How'd you get like this? What happened to you? The devil put you on the back of the bus. He got you picking cotton, made you nothing, told you you were nothing. You believe it, now you walk in it. And God is trying to make people stand up against this invading army of locusts, caterpillar, palmer worms, and canker worms. Stand up. They've got no power. They're faking you out. They're presenting to you a false flag. They're projecting a false image of power that's not real. He needs somebody to just stand up. But your own self-identity will determine the outcome. Let's look at it in the Bible. Your self-identity determines the outcome. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Now, who made the pages of this Bible so blurry? Let me try to correct it. Somebody blurred my Bible, man. Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. So they came out of Egypt now, 600,000 men with children, didn't mention the women. It's predicted or suggested that maybe between 2.5 and 3 million people came up out of Egypt. After 400 plus years of bondage in Egypt, they multiplied significantly in Egypt. And a mixed multitude went up with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. The mixed multitude were the Mongol races, mixtures of different races. They came up with the Hebrews because they had some Hebrew blood, but they were mixed. They were not pure-blooded Hebrews. Because, you know, anytime you get any race of people to spend time in a region with other people, the bloodlines are going to mix because they're going to get with each other, intermarry and intersplice different bloodlines and ethnicities, and you'll have a mixed multitude. So they came up, they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. They had no food, so they ate unleavened bread. You know, leaven is always a type of the flesh. So God is saying, leave the flesh in Egypt, but y'all come on up out of there. Leaven, the Bible says a little leaven. Leaven is the whole lump. Leaven is always a type of the flesh. He wants to get rid of the flesh, the Adamic nature. God is battling a nature that the devil exploits. If you have no Adamic nature in you, the devil has nothing to use in you. Jesus says, the prince of this world cometh, he has nothing in me, because I was not Adam's offspring. He had no nature of Adam in Jesus, so the devil had no buttons to push. He got nothing in me. I got no DNA from that offspring. I got none of that genetic makeup. I got none of the chromosomes of Adam in me. I came from heaven, from my father's throne room. And so now the devil is looking to put something in me. See, the devil was fighting to make inroads into Jesus, to put something in him. He was the second Adam, the Bible says. The devil put that nature in the first Adam. He looked to do it again to the second Adam, so he came to tempt Jesus. Remember when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? The devil knew, I got no fifth column in him. I got to try to put something in him to use him, to exploit him, but he couldn't get in. He spent his whole time around Jesus trying to find a breach to get into him. That's why he killed his first cousin. He killed John the Baptist, wanting Jesus to react to it. Jesus didn't react to it. He went and cast out devils, healed the sick, and raised the dead in response to him killing John the Baptist. You can't react to the devil and be led by the Spirit. I'll say that again. You can't be a person that reacts to the devil and be led by God's Spirit, because your emotions will have you reacting to the devil's inputs. It's going to undermine the leadership of the Holy Ghost. So the devil always has somebody that can do what? Get under your skin. He'll always go back to that old faithful person that can always bug you. Most of the time, it'll be one of your kids. Just when you are into the ozone with God, just worshiping God, just way up in the atmosphere with God, in the Holy of Holies with God, your kid will do something stupid and pull you back out again. That's why you got to forget them. Leave them. They don't need you. They need the Lord. Because I'm not going back like Lot's wife. He told me to remember her. Remember Lot's wife. When he's pulling you out of here, don't go back for anybody. Get over them. Get delivered from everybody. Because, man, this thing is about to jump off. If you go back, you'll be lost with them. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. They were down there for 430 years. You know where they came from, right? Remember when Joseph went down there, sent back for his father and brothers, Jacob and the other boys? That's when they went in. And they stayed down there 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt, that this is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generation. Everybody knows that's the night of the Passover. Jesus was the Passover lamb. So what we're seeing in real time, we're watching the church live through the same sequences that Israel lived through coming out of Egypt. It's paralleling it to the letter. A Passover meal, a Passover lamb is eaten because we're leaving Egypt. When you got saved, you're celebrating the Passover. You came out of the world like you came out of Egypt and you're leaving. But you got to leave and forsake it and never look back. But what was detrimental to the people coming out of Egypt that had them bound? They left Egypt physically, but they didn't leave it mentally. It was in them, in their minds. The damage done in slavery had their minds programmed to be slaves. And that's what God had dealt with all the way to the promised land, to the degree that he had to kill them off to get rid of it. He had to let them die. What's he doing to the church right now? He's letting the old regime die. They're getting old now, and they're finally dying off, letting them die. Because they won't go in and do what he wants done. They don't have the intestinal fortitude. They're still concrete thinkers. He's got to get himself to an abstract bunch of people who have no what? Limitations on their minds. I believe God can do anything, exceedingly and above anything I can dare ask or think. He can do it. But when you got those limitations on your mind, I still got some racial identity. I'm still limited in my scope about what I will do and what I won't say. I'm a respecter of persons, so I won't say that to them because they're higher than me. I'm black and I really feel funny in a room full of white people. First thing I did when I got saved in January 29th, 1984. By August of that year, I was walking into an all-white church in Indiana. No, it was Illinois. Big Assembly of God church. Everybody in there talking about, pray for me. I have an unspoken request. They named about 30 things that was wrong with everybody. My cousin's sick. My husband's got a heart problem. I was the only black face in the place. I went with another white guy that was stationed with me in Chanute Air Force Base, Illinois. Went down to this all-white Assembly of God church. Pastor up front. His wife over there on the side playing the organ or whatever. So they went through all these testimonies about prayer and stuff. I stood up. I was like a wild man back then. I didn't care about nothing. I said, listen, your problem in here is none of you got any faith. You don't believe nothing. I'm tired of this negativity up in here. I'm tired of all this detrimental speaking about God. Stand up and believe this thing. Man, you could hear a pin drop up in there. But I was so far gone, I didn't even know what time zone I lived in. I could care less. They prayed and they went into the service. After the service, two old white women got a hold of me in the lobby. They said, we've been waiting on you, boy. We've been waiting on you to show up. And I'm sick of this mess, too. I said, I know, ma'am. I sure appreciate you. That was crazy. I was gone. But I had been on a 40-day fast. I had prayed through. I was just loosed, man. When you're like that, you're the perfect weapon in God's hands. Because you've lost all self-consciousness. When you're conscious of yourself, you got limiters built into you.
Right.
You got the mind of a 2-bit Egyptian slave nigga. Whether you be black, white, Hispanic, or Oriental, you've got a niggerized mind. So God can't use you because of your incapacitated, crippled state. But you can pray through to an abstract mind. Well, you see no man after the flesh. You can talk to the president, a judge, a Supreme Court justice and be oblivious of it. The Pope is just a guy to you. God can get your mind so far gone and so far out of yourself that you will be a perfect battle axe. He says in the Bible, thou art my battle axe. But if you got a limited mind, you'll be limited in what you'll say. I don't care nothing about no live stream or what these people think about me. I get all kinds of pushback and feedback on this. I could care less about you. It'll be a person trying to say something about me right now, typing in a live stream while I'm talking. Forget you. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Somebody's got to make a stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Keep getting pushed around by these kooks. To listening to some boob that don't even know God for. Steve Harvey. What can Steve Harvey tell you? Nothing. People try to post things about, well, this is a good thing Steve Harvey said. Steve Harvey can't tell you anything. Nothing. If you're not a part of the kingdom of God, a part of the army of the living God, nothing that you say matters. Come on, man, stop letting the devil make a fool out of you. Stop being gum under somebody's shoe. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, when you have what? Circumcised him. The Bible tells us the New Testament circumcision is a circumcision of the heart.
Yes.
You can only eat the Passover when you're circumcised. You got to cut out the heart of flesh. Cut off the world. When you cut out the heart of flesh, you cut out the world from your heart. You don't have any attachment to it. No draw for it. You have anything that magnetically gets you involved in it. You could care less. I don't know what the latest song is. I don't know what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing. I don't know about their TV shows. Limiting factors that will make you a slave in your mind. Always trying to track what these nasty, stinking, low-down, dirty folks are doing. And they make them stars. Can't you see the most humiliated, low-down people are the ones they lift up into stardom? Tiger Woods is roaming around down in Florida as a vagabond.
Yes.
Billion-dollar golfer brought down to the ground. The Bible says a whore will bring you to a piece of bread with $1 billion in your pocket. Think about how humiliating that is. Top of the game, proud as a peacock walking around, brought down to a groveling level of an earthworm because he can't keep his little weenie sausage in his pocket. A whore will bring you to a piece of bread. Break you all the way down. That's happened over and over again. Jimmy Swaggart, magnanimous, worldwide, global evangelist, brought down to nothing. He never got back right again either. Never. Now he just spent a lot of time crying and talking lowly, slow talk about the Lord. And he used to be a dynamic guy that would tell you anything. He backed off all that once that whore got a hold of him and broke him down. That's what we're up against. This is World War III. That's why you got to maintain a standard of righteousness. If you start getting tired and weak, it's time to fast.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Man, I'm tired, man. I'm getting kind of, my mind getting kind of cloudy. I'm thinking all kinds of contrary thoughts. Man, turn that plate over, man. Because when you see the flesh rising, it's time to put down the uprising. The flesh is just like a monster. It'll come back on you. When you see it rise, oh, I see your flesh. Okay. You want to, okay. You, I'm not going to feed you. You won't eat again, as far as I'm concerned. You'll live on twigs. Locusts and wild honey. That's what we'll eat from here on out. I see what you got to do to this thing. You got to buffet your body, we think. Buffet it. Go to the buffet and eat all the 145 dishes they got. Paul didn't say buffet his body. He said buffet his body. We buffet it. It's spelled exactly the same. Oh, I see. Oh, I see in the Bible. He says he wants them to eat to get strong. We buffet ourselves. And what kind of misinterpretation of the Bible is that? He said, I buffet my body, lest after having preached the gospel, I become a castaway. If Paul can become a castaway, how can you be once saved and always saved and eternally secure when the power apostle Paul says, I can't become a castaway? You see how crazy eternal security is? Charles Stanley, John MacArthur, brilliant Bible expositor, extraordinaire. How in the world could the apostle become a castaway and you can't? If any man think he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. He says, circumcise them, then he shall eat thereof. Eat the Passover once you're circumcised. Jesus is the Passover. Partake of Jesus when you're cut off from the world, and not until then. You try to come to Jesus and still append it to the world, he's going to push you back. Your kind cannot come in here. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. Remember, Jesus had no bone broken when he was crucified. You can't break the bones of the Passover. That was representative of the fact that Jesus was coming. Don't break a bone in the lamb when you see that meat. It's paralleling us all the way down the line. If preachers don't know this, they can't teach it to you. Somebody got to go somewhere and study to show themselves approved. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Nobody not cut off from the world can partake of the body of Christ. We don't tolerate anybody. We're not inclusive with anybody. If you don't cut off that world and forsake it, you're not born again. You're not a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. You have no part in this matter. We're not coming over there. If you want to be saved, you got to come over here. We don't downgrade it for anybody. A standard is raised. You must pass the muster. You must come by way of the standard that has been raised, or God rejects you. He's not all inclusive. He does not accept everybody. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. Thus did all the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. You see what he's raising up, right? This is an army coming out of here, man. It's going to be a different breed of people. It's not going to be these passive, little, docile, wimpy Christians you're used to. These are going to be mighty men of valor and mighty women of virtue who stand with them. It's going to be people who have been dignified, made over. Thoughts are higher. Ways are higher. Their view of God is higher. They have a standard in them that represents the fact that they are ambassadors sent from a royal king, and we're not downgrading it for anybody. Why should you live like a lowly bum because the devil wants you to be one? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever opened the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came up out of Egypt, out of the house of what? The house of bondage. So what were you in the world? A slave. You lived as a slave from the day you were born physically to the day you were born again. You were a slave, yoked to your own lust and passions. You didn't do what you wanted to do. You did what the devil told you to do. Your own feelings were the chain on you. Your own emotions bound you to the devil. He manipulated you by using your emotions and your feelings against you. Couldn't take being rejected. Couldn't bear being ostracized. So afraid people wouldn't like me. So beat down and beat up inside, I went along to get along. Did anything the guy said, just don't leave me. Did anything the woman said, just don't leave me because I'm so beat down. I'm enslaved because of my beat down, emaciated state in the inner man. That's why you got to be born again. Adam and Eve lost their confidence. They lost their self-worth. They lost their identity in Christ. They lost their positions as the children of God. So therefore, the devil was able to put a boot right up the old butt and kick them around like they were nothing. And they accepted the crumbs from the table. When they should have been eating at the master's table, they were just scratching around for crumbs. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Look at the people down here. They don't worship God. They worship the government, food stamps, and Section 8 housing. It was detrimental to black folks to live in the projects. Because you expected a handout. You never became self-sufficient. People come from Africa right now and look at blacks in America and can't understand why you are like you are. I had a guy come here, his daughter had just graduated from medical school. He was an engineer. And he says, from Nigeria, we just can't understand you black people here. This is a land of plenty. You can have whatever you want here. I became an engineer. I'm making six figures. My daughter is going to be making $200,000 or $300,000 as a doctor. And we just went to school, got the training, and we put it into practice. And now you around the corner smoking a blunt and sipping syrup like a fool. And you've been here your whole life. I came in from Nigeria 8 years ago. I'm living in a $450,000 house. My wife is making $200,000 as a physician somewhere. I'm making this money as an engineer. What's wrong with you blacks over here? I said, sir, the slave mind went nowhere. The slavery ended physically, but the slave mind stayed intact. So they look for the plantation master to take care of them. They hate Trump because he won't be a plantation master. 8 years with Obama got you nothing. He took care of his homosexual partners. Right. Not you. Right. And talking about his accomplishments. Blast something. Well, you know all of his accomplishments. Sir. What did he do for you? Nothing. But he was black. I just like the fact that he's black. And say it with all kinds of intensity, spitting out on you. He's black. Look, man, look. Look. The government is not your mama and your daddy. Yes. What do you want from them? I want one thing from the government. Leave me alone.
Right.
Just leave me alone.
Right.
That's all you should want from them. But when you accept Section 8 housing, food stamps, government assistance, they're going to tell you what you can do, where you can or cannot go, what you can or cannot wear, what you can drive. They put the limiters on you because you're dependent upon them. I was standing behind a girl at the checkout counter with food stamps. She had the audacity to bring some Honey Nut Cheerios to the checkout stand. Know what they told her? You can't buy those. You gotta buy plain Cheerios. I said, some cotton picking Cheerios? Look, I'll buy the Cheerio for. It's all. Corn flakes, not frosted flakes. Just a mess. To be brainwashed as a slave to the extent that you have inherited generational curses on you, that everybody's in the projects. Everybody's having 8, 9 kids out of wedlock. Another baby means more money. They use babies for support. Sneak the man in the house at midnight because he can't stay there by day because the inspector might come by. Now, Larry, get up and get on out of here because they're watching us right now. Come back about 9:30 when it's safe and sneak in the back door. Because we can't let them know you live here because a man can't stay here without 9 and a half kids. I don't know how you get a half a kid. But that's what we got. Taught that generationally. It's a generational curse. You'll see this thing running in bloodlines.
Yeah.
It's the curse of slavery. Guys running around having babies by different folks. He's a Mandingo breeder. for the plantation master. You need these boys in jail because somebody got to clean the trash off the streets. See the man walking down the street with the shotgun and the boys walking around picking up trash? They were bred by a mandingo for that purpose. No daddy in the house bred another mandingo nigga to pick up trash on the streets and make furniture in the prisons and chemicals in the prisons and stamp out license plates in the prisons as a mandingo breed nigga abandoned the home and left 8 girls with a baby apiece so they'll have a stocked up prisoner supply to do the menial tasks that they have to get done, and we're still living in it.
Yes, that's right.
Still on a plantation. Sitting up at a stinking BET award listening to 2 Chainz talk to you. What's wrong with you? And mad at me. What you mad at me for? I'm trying to tell you how to get yourself free. Come to Jesus Christ. Lay yourself down on that altar. Beg for freedom and ask him to deliver you. And cut this bloodline curse off of you. Because you've been a slave. And you'll be one from the cradle to the grave unless you break out of this thing by being born again. I don't care who doesn't like it. We're here to set the captive free. He came to set the captive free. You can't see what the thing is doing. It's the same program still running. Breeders teaching the girls how to be whores because they want the girls to breed. Two little girls on the internet right now, 2 little black girls kissing, saying they're about to get married. Both of them got babies by a black married man that they were having threesome sex with, and the girls fell in love with each other. And both of them got a baby by the black married man, and they married each other on GoFundMe saying we're trying to raise $10,000 for our wedding. See, people say, what? Because that's unbelievable. That's embedded in the mind. That's the mind of a slave. Now they breed 2 more babies for the plantation. Some bum is married to another woman, having threesome sex with these little 20-year-old girls. They're both pregnant and marrying each other. Not a man in sight now because they fell in love with themselves, with each other as lesbians, having threesome sex with this boob while he goes back home to his wife and got babies put up in both of them. And you sit there watching Power, Mary Jane, the BET Awards, these dumbed down ignorant videos with all these little thong clad girls pumping their behinds in your face. You a plantation nigga with a niggerized mind. Still right on in 2017. 2017. How far removed are we from slavery? And still got this yoke. The Bible says the yoke shall be taken from off of your neck because of the anointing. The anointing of God will break that yoke of slavery. Amen. This is crazy. Go to any high school, you'll see the girls walking hand in hand. Have given up men. All the guys becoming homosexuals. So the girls going with each other. That's the curse of the slavery. Mandingos breeding with all of them, treating them like trash, they turn to each other for solace and comfort. A mandingo slave. The homosexuality was bred into the black man from slavery because a lot of these black boys coming off the slave ship were kept as concubines to sodomize the master. They saw those black mandingo boys with big penises, and the master in the big house was a homosexual white man. So he said, separate off that little nigga there. Because he's hung like a horse and I want him to sodomize me. I'm a homosexual. And that embedded the homosexual spirit into those black boys, and it's being lived out to this very day. I don't care who don't like it. I don't care who don't like it. I could care less. I'm free. I'm going to preach this gospel. I don't care who don't like it. Because you're walking around bound trying to figure out how all these rappers becoming homosexuals. It's in their DNA. It's in the gene pool. They were bred like that to be that. A lot of those men who were slave masters were homosexuals. And they pick out the biggest, most robust slave boys from the African slave ship and train them to be docile, beat down concubines. What the Bible calls catamites, to service them at the big house. With the wife living in there with the man. And told that white woman to shut her mouth. And the white woman is mad to this very day about it. Because that same slave master also took advantage of the young black girls and had what they call pickaninnies, half black, half white folks born from the slave master taking advantage of the young black girls in the slave shacks. Plantation full of pickaninnies. And he told that white woman, shut your mouth and don't you say nothing. You Southern Belle, you. Get over there and make some tea with your girls and sip that tea and be a Southern Belle. And the white woman was mad. She had suppressed anger in her. It's caused tension between black women and white women to the very day. That comes from slavery. That's where it's coming from. They're almost like terrified of a pretty black girl. Like, thought, you know, the white master like her. And don't let her be fair-skinned, half black and half white. That's how Beyonce and Rihanna are making hay, because they light-skinned girls. Can't you see the system uses them? Beyonce got all that French in her and all that different mix in her, that she got that bright skin. And the ones that are not bright, they're going to bleach themselves brighter, because the brighter you are, the further you can go. Paula Patton and these kind of folk, perfect, perfect storm. Because they're the fantasy creation of the white man who's in charge, and she's a real beautiful pickaninny. Halle Berry didn't blow up until she went and became a whore in Monsters Ball. As somebody that would turn herself out for the white guy in the movie, and then they give you an Academy Award. I'm telling you the truth. The truth ain't pretty. The truth ain't nice. It ain't sweet. God don't fizzle up one inch in the Bible. He tell you exactly what happened to folks.
Thank you, Lord.
This is the slavery. This is the bondage that affects white and black people alike. The turmoil. All the stuff that picks them one against the other. It's all incorporated in slavery. The black man was a threat because the black man was a big stud breeder. And segregation was designed to keep that big black stud breeder away from that little white blonde girl. Segregation don't have nothing to do with black women. Nothing. They let black women blow up, to the stratosphere. They don't care. You can go as high as you want to go because they want you. But that big bull stud over there, I don't want you with my daughter. But guess what happened? They made the mistake of sending them to college to play football. And guess the main ones that after them, them little white cheerleaders. They daughters. And now they just had to give up and say, well, y'all going to be with them because we got to have this running back. We need to be a 320-pound lineman. So, hey, y'all going to breed with them. Hey, I just give up because we got to make this money. This is a $1 billion deal here. See, money is worshipable of your own daughter. Sacrifice her up for the money. Price, you getting them some forbidden stuff. I don't care. I don't care about this place. I don't care about nothing down here. Oh, it all blows up. I hate it all.
Right.
Let it go to pot. Let it go to the pit of hell, all of it. Because it's all evil.
Yes,
right. Satan is behind the scenes.
Yes.
Jay-Z blows up because he worships Aleister Crowley, a master magician who was a homosexual, bisexual freak. And you better believe everybody that follows him is the same thing. That girl gonna stop talking about having twins all she wants. I know what she living with. Because I know what he gotta do to keep that power. The same thing Michael Jackson had to do to get that power and keep it. The same thing Eddie Long had to do to get that power, keep it. You use the semen of young boys to empower yourself. You ingest it and you sodomize young boys for power in the satanic world. Because you get your life force from them young boys and their semen. That's where your power comes from. That's why Eddie Long had concubines that were young boys. He ruled that church with the power of those young boys' semen. And he cast a strong spell over all those people. And to this very day, that spell has not been broken over those people. Hip-hop boys that blow up, homosexuals. Behind the scenes, they're being sodomized. Tupac tried to fight it off of himself. He dead today. When Michael Jackson was wrung out like a wet rag, threw him away. His sister just married that guy from the Middle East. Said she almost committed suicide behind that because the guy almost drove her crazy. Now she just divorced him. Just had a baby by him at 50 years old and divorced him. All this stuff around us is like a whirlwind of craziness all around us. That's why you got to get to Jesus Christ and anchor your mind. I got to have an anchor that holds in a storm, good buddy, because this is madness. You're trying to figure out why things are like they are. I'm peeling back the cover and showing you why things are like they are. You got to know this to walk in the midst of this madness. All you see on BET and at these award shows are plantation Mandingo niggas and whores that still service the same plantation that they always have for the last 100 years. Same spirits doing the same thing. They use the black woman as a sexual object. They objectify her body. Barbara Streisand can stand up and sing in an evening gown, but Beyonce got to get butt naked. Adele can sing in an evening gown, but Tina Turner got to get butt naked. Talking about left out of home in the city, working in a home and night and day. Big wheel keep on turning. Why you gotta do all that? Why you gotta do all that? 70-something years about to kill over still. Oh, she's got great legs though. You know, that's crazy. They objectify the queens from the plantation, and you gotta be a dirty old stank whore to get any traction in this environment. Because you came from the plantation and you still niggerized. They blow up when they become whores. Look at them, Amber Rose, Rihanna. Everybody getting used up. Black China. Just keep going down the list. Keep going down the list. It goes on and on and on. All these girls in the rap game got to be nasty whores. Beautiful girls, but they got to be turned out. Or we can't use you. The brighter your skin is, the lighter your skin is, the more traction we get. Because you become like a all-encompassing woman that can appeal to blacks and whites. See, that's why they can market you. Because you're not so dark-skinned that only the blacks will accept you. Because you might be offensive to some white people. But if you're real bright-skinned and you got your weave right, you know, your weave draped down your back like you're a blonde white girl, like Beyonce has learned to master. Beyonce has mastered it. You know, her weave is, her lace front wig is, you know, looks like Britney Spears, you know. She's mastered it. She's been taught what to do to make the money. Right. Above all things, get the money, honey. Get the money, get the money. Rihanna the same way. They all stand there naked. Nicki Minaj, stand there, you know. Got a butt put on and breasts put on and everything. But she's still a bright-skinned girl. She can still make it work. It's where the money is. You got to become all things to all people. You got to become multiracial, multifaceted. You got to be able not to offend anybody with your looks. If you got that going for you, man, the sky is the limit. This is real stuff. But now they're downgrading it. They get these new shows like that show about the nail shop that is coming out now. That's just rough old black women, just rough old talking. You know, thug black women now. It's just crazy. What's the name of that movie, that show? Claws. Claws? This is crazy. We're living in a world gone mad because of the niggerization of the mind. These words will be in the next edition of Webster's. Niggerized, niggerization. You know, non-niggerization. Negativity, you know. It's a lot of different variations of this word that will be in the next edition. As I am now bringing this to the forefront, and this is going to gain traction as we look at it more closely. Niggeronics, you know, the form of nigger economics, niggeronics. Niggerophony, you know, when somebody visits you as a nigger, a niggerophony. You know. Look, all this stuff is going on, man. This is crazy. And we're looking at this stuff, and it's crazy, and we're living through it, and it's all a reflection of that mind that's programmed to be a slave. Look at this. He says, come out of this house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. No bread with flesh in it. No flesh. Don't deal with the flesh. Leaven is a type of the flesh. This day came you out in the month Abib. It shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. Look where you're headed. You're headed where the demons dwell. You're headed where the fallen angels have set up a citadel. We have to take the second heavenlies. That's our assigned position. They're there. So we get appointed to take the second heavenlies and pull the devil down to make the devil Jesus' footstool. If we're the body of Christ, the devil can't be Jesus' footstool until he's under us. We got to pull him down, but guess what? There are giants in the land. You told us to engage the devil, but you didn't tell us he's got strategically armed, powerful forces. I didn't know I got saved to go to war with the devil. Why didn't you tell me that from day one? Because you would have been afraid and would have gone back. But the best way to preach the gospel is to tell people the whole ball of wax up front. You're a slave, enslaved by the devil. He's got you tormented and tearing you apart. Now you got to get saved and come to Jesus, get full of the Holy Ghost, but you got to fight the devil. That's what you're getting saved for. Now you need to fight the one that was your captor for all those years. You got to take captivity captive. You got to rescue the people that are still bound by him. He enlisted you to fill you with the Holy Ghost to go and rescue others, but you got to fight the one that's captivating them. That's what the warfare of the saints is. That's where you really start living. You won't live until you engage the devil in conflict. It's going to make your life worth living. You'll feel good. Feel good, especially when you get victories and you beat them down and you see devils cast out and yelling as they leave. And man, this is nice. I like this. I love this. Because you got power over all the power of the devil. He had you oppressed with his foot on your neck. Man, don't you feel good to get that thing off of you? And now let the devil know, okay, I have done everything necessary to serve and get my obedience intact. And he says, go forward and avenge all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. Now you have the authority to attack him because you overcame him. This devil is just orchestrating everything, man, making people into slaves, taking their lives from them, turning little young girls into whores. Some of the most beautiful girls in this world have become just 10-cent whores because the devil says that's your lot in life. Man, we got to turn that, man. It's time to flip that. It's time to get rid of all these old nasty men. Nasty buzzards trying to turn a girl into a whore. You need a man that's got some dignity that will tell a girl, listen, girl, get yourself together. Get some dignity about yourself. Come up some in life. You don't have to be nothing for nobody. Raise up. Rise up. Get up. Everything is moving up. But these old bums trying to use these young girls and turn them out by giving them a few dollars. Hey, girl, you need to have your rent paid. I got your rent money. I mean, slip on down, have a head doing it. Slip on around the way. Can't slip on around the way down my house. Slip on over here. And, I got the money. I got $800 in my pocket. Slip on around. Somebody to beat you in your head. Your old rusted sluggard, you. I can get my wife called an old codger. I think she said a codger. I don't even know what a codger is. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen. No flesh. You're getting rid of all that flesh now. Yes. No unleavened bread shall be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. So it says, no leavened bread with you, no leaven in your house. And you shall show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And there shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep his ordinances in his season from year to year. And it shall come to and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it to thee, that you shall set apart unto the Lord all that opens the what?
Matrix.
The word matrix means the womb. What is earth? It's a womb. This is a womb. The earth is designed by God to actually have you gestate in it and to have you birthed out of it. You see, the church as a whole is a collective baby's body. That's why it says at the end of time there will be birth pains. What's going to happen? The earth is pushing out the body of Christ, and we'll get manifested sons, born sons. But it comes through the travail of the saints. When Zion travails, sons and daughters will be birthed. So he's got this treasure down here that's like a developing child. See, the earth historically is housing the body of Christ, and all history is about the development of this body. And when it comes to full stature, the earth will vomit it out and push it out. Now, what's going to be the key to cause that thing to happen? When the church has no leaven. When we have no worldly endeavors, no flesh, we don't want anything from here. And then the world will know and the earth will know instinctively, we got to push them out. You know why the earth does that? Why the world systems do that? Because you'll contaminate other people with your dependence and your faithfulness to Christ. You can't control people that are not fleshly and carnal and soulish. You make your money off of the carnal appetites of sinners. Sinners go to Las Vegas. Sinners watch porno. Sinners buy the dope. Don't you know they can't cut off the dope in America? The economy would collapse. If they cut the dope out, the economy would collapse. Dope makes money flow. Dope boys spend money. Dope boys buy cars. Dope boys buy houses. Not to mention the ones that really control the dope. That's the real boys with the doctorates from MIT. Those are the real ones that run the dope trade. It's the judges, the lawyers, the people you think the doctor is investing in some kind of mutual fund. He's investing in a dope trade. So you gotta wake up and understand the game, man. This is the game in the matrix. It's about money. Politics are not real. There are no Republicans and Democrats. It's just money. There's no right wing, left wing, no liberal, no conservative. That's all to make you think it's real. Nancy Pelosi ain't mad at nobody. Barack Obama ain't irritated by nobody. He's on the yachts right now in the Caribbean sailing around. He ain't mad at nobody. He speak on Wall Street. He get paid $400,000 a speech, Barack Obama, right now. He ain't mad at nobody. All that anger and stuff they projected at you to make you feel some kind of a way. They got to make you believe they're fighting Trump, and Trump is fighting them. It's all game. Exactly. Tricks of the trade. Everybody that's got $1 million or $1 billion, you think they care about you?
Right.
You know, like I'm a liberal Democrat worried about you over here on food stamps living in the project. You think they're really thinking about you? For real? See if they don't go on a vacation without you. Barack Obama staying at a hotel that costs $2,000 a night to stay in. You go down to the Caribbean, and you go to Bahamas, and you go down to Atlantis. See, it's the regular hotels, but you know, if you ever seen those towers, there's like a bridge that drawing those two towers together. You know what's inside that bridge? The master suite for the Bahamas. I think that's $25,000 a night or something like that. It looks like a house in there. See, I mean, you think that they stand, I think Michael Jackson gave a concert down there when they first built it. That's where he stayed. You think they're thinking about that? I'm up here just worried about a guy in Chicago that don't have nothing to eat. You think he's thinking about that? It's a game. CNN and all these different news channels, MSNBC, it's all game. They hired hands. They getting paid to keep what? The propaganda going, to make you feel some kind of a way about it. All the stuff you see that they fight, these are pseudo wars and make believe. It's designed to keep you trapped in some type of antagonistic feeling about something and feeling some way about somebody else. That's all it's for. It's all a mind game. It's all a matrix. They are magicians that run the matrix. They enslave people. But you gotta have a niggerized mind. You gotta have a mind of a slave for it to work on you. When Christ sets you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and your thoughts transcend the magic of their kingdom, man, you're free. They can't control you. They hate that. He says the firstborn that breaks that matrix comes out of the womb. And every firstling that comes of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son ask thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say unto him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage, the house of slavery. And it came to pass when the Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And there shall be for a token upon thine hand and for a frontlet between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. So by power he brought us up out of there. And it came to pass when the Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see what?
War.
And they return to Egypt. That's the problem with church people. Now we're confronted with a tangible, evident war with the devil, and all of them are turning into jello. Cowards. They don't want to fight. Now they want to emphasize love. Let's just let the homosexuals become pastors. Let the lesbians become apostles and pastors. Let's just peacefully coexist. Rick Warren and the purpose-driven life. Christendom, let's just join Christ to Islam and live in peace. Kenneth Copeland goes to talk to the Pope in the Vatican for an ecumenical joining of Pentecostalism with the Pope. As he sits there, Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, trying to incorporate Roman Catholicism, which is nothing but New Age Babylonianism, with the Church of God. But you know, they don't even represent the Church of God. They're false apostles. They're sent forth to bring together an ecumenical religious structure, and people are afraid of it. They're afraid of it. This is why you don't see the masses coming to this message. They're afraid of it. They sit there and pay lip service to it, but they won't do one thing about it because they're afraid of it. Guess what? You ain't even saved. You're not saved. You're a hypocrite. Because God says, I took you by way of the long route out of here to teach you how to fight. I brought you to foreign tribes so you learn how to fight them. I let the devil loose on you so you learn how to fight him. He had to make you strong for the end times. All these small skirmishes you've gone through has done something to you that you're not even conscious of. Notice how the more you fought the devil, the more you went through, the less you cared about the world. It's taking the world out of you. Because you see, every time you try to put trust down in something or someone in the world, it lets you down. Every time. He's going to let it let you down. Why? Because he don't want you to make anything else a God. I am the Lord your God. You will have no other God before me. And when you depend on people to give you some kind of validation, he's going to make sure they let you down. Until you only have him left.
Right.
And now you're ready. When you got just Jesus,
yes.
Now you're ready. But when you got hope in anything else, he's going to let that thing, he's going to make that thing cut you to the quick. Cut your heart right out of your chest. And then you're going to end up with, I just can't believe they did that to me. I thought she was my friend. I can't believe she said that about me. No, you want to incorporate them into your world because you were not able to walk along with just Jesus. So he had to let you know, all flesh is grass. You can't depend on none of it. So they came out, but they brought that slave mind with them. Look what happened when they got ready to take the promised land, Numbers 13. They came all the way out. You know what happened. He let all of them die out because they would not let go of Egypt in their minds. Every time they got to an obstacle, they began to do what? Murmur. The bitter waters of memory. They murmuring. The water bitter. We can't drink it. He said, cut out some foliage, throw it in the water and make it able to drink. Every time they got to something, no water, no food. We don't have nothing to eat. Okay. They murmured, give them manna. They murmured, give them quail to eat. They murmured, every time they got to an obstacle, no water, no, make water come out of a rock. They always complained. The first thing they always said, we should have went back to Egypt. We'd have been better off dying in Egypt than to follow you out here. That's the mindset of the church people.
Right.
They don't want to advance. Something like Dunamis Tabernacle, you know what's wrong with that? That's a citadel against everything.